So the Bible reading tonight is from 1 Thessalonians, verse 1 to 10. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all those believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in the God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell us how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Thank you.
Well, as Simon said, I'm Phil, and I'm a pretty good guy. Before I start our sermon tonight, which we're going to be looking at this letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and hopefully which we'll see what it means to have a memorable faith, why don't I pray? Dear God, please be with me now, and please be with us as we open your word. Enrich us with your spirit that we might understand what you are trying to say to us. Help me to speak clearly and help those listening to deepen their knowledge of your love for us in your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, we're going to be looking at this first part of the letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. And it was the city of Thessalonica, which still exists today. Paul and his ministry team of Timothy and Silas, they'd been on this big tour around Macedonia and Greece, and they'd been visiting cities and towns and preaching the gospel. One of these cities was Thessalonica. When Paul and his team, they got there and they spent a few weeks speaking and preaching. And after moving on from there, after only a short few weeks, Paul sent Timothy back to them to check in with them to see how they were going. And when Timothy returned to Paul with news of them, Paul was so encouraged by what he'd heard that he wrote this letter almost immediately to encourage them in their faith. And Paul starts this letter with simple greetings from verse 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. This is Paul's standard intro to most of his letters. He has the sender, the recipients, and his greetings. And what follows from verse 2 is Paul's encouragement to them, his assessment of their faith. From verse 2, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is so encouraged by this young church that he says to them that he's always thankful for them. More than that, he remembers them. He is always remembering them for their faith. He says their work of faith, their labor of love, and then endurance of hope is memorable to him. Faith, love, and hope are sort of Paul's big catch cries from most of his letters. And that's because they're the key to the gospel. Having gospel-filled lives means that you should have faith, hope, and love. Paul is basically saying that these Thessalonian Christians, that they're nailing it. They're kicking goals for the gospel. And Paul commends them here for having a memorable faith, for being just what they ought to be as people who call on the name of Jesus. I wonder if you know anyone like that. If you can think of someone in your life that has a memorable faith. Someone you could credit as being an example of faith, hope, and love. From history, people who have memorable faith might look like maybe John Wycliffe or Martin Luther, more recently maybe even Billy Graham. But I wonder, in our present, can you think of someone with memorable faith? Maybe someone from this room, maybe even ourselves. Do we think our faith is memorable? It's hard to know what qualifies us for that title, but lucky for us, Paul doesn't just leave us wondering. Let's continue reading and see what he has to say to these Thessalonians and see if we qualify. Our first point from verse 4 to 5 is that they received the gospel. Read from verse 4. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. Paul says in verse 4 that God has chosen the Thessalonian Christians. How does he know that? Well, he's sure that God has chosen them because they received the message. He says in verse 5 that the gospel that he spoke to them wasn't just hollow words and idle conversation. It wasn't just a nice idea or a far-off hope. He says it came to them with power. The power of God's Spirit was at work in them. With deep conviction, they listened to the message of Jesus that Paul shared with them. Paul knows that the Thessalonians received the gospel because he saw how their lives changed when they heard it. He watched how everything changed for them as he explained what Jesus had done for them. Suddenly, this hope, this life-giving message, became the sole focus of their lives. Everything else in their lives just faded before this hope that they'd now heard. Because compared to this hope they now had, everything else was worthless to them. This sort of change, becoming focused on one single amazing thing, for me sometimes is a bit like shopping. Not for groceries and stuff, but like the big things, the big ticket items, like a new car, a new bike for my son, maybe a new vacuum. For me, when I research these things before I buy them, I need to know everything. I research them to death so that I'm not going to waste my money, so that it's going to tick all the boxes that I need it to do in my life. And online shopping's only made this easier because now I can look at user reviews and I can work out whether people hated it or loved it. And usually when I'm going through this process, I have about 10 different screens open on my computer as I sort of check everything and compare it. And towards the end, when I start to actually figure out what it is that's actually going to fill all my needs, I sort of start to exit out of all these other windows. I start to focus on this one thing that's going to fix my life for me. And as I narrow it down, I end up with this one focused goal in mind, this one thing that I'm after. And this, what Paul is saying, is what it's like when we truly see God. It was like this for the Thessalonians. They suddenly had nothing else in their mind except the gospel of Jesus. When the Spirit came to them with power and they saw the true message of the gospel, all of the things they cared about before suddenly became worthless. After Paul shared this message of Jesus with them, that's all they wanted to hear, the only thing they could focus on. I wonder if it's like that for us still. Are we still excited by the message of Jesus? Do we still long to hear more about the Son of God who saves us from judgment? I wonder if, like the Thessalonians, we're only focused on knowing the gospel, in finding out more. It's quite often hard to remember how exciting it was the first time we received the gospel. Do we remember what it's like to have God's Spirit at work in us with power? When we truly understood for the first time the work that Jesus did on our behalf, is that just a distant memory to us now? Paul says to these Thessalonians that it's about more than just that, though. It's about more than just receiving. Let's look at what he says next about the Thessalonians and their memorable faith. He goes on to say that they didn't just receive the gospel, but the gospel went into them and is now coming out of them. The gospel is now flowing out of their very lives. From the second half of verse 5. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. The Thessalonians have received the gospel, Paul says, and now he says that it's ringing out from them. While Paul was there, he says in verse 5, he went out of his way not to be a burden to them. It was likely that he worked in his trade of tent making so that he could provide for himself during his stay. He did this so that he was above reproach, so that no one might say he was there with a false message. And during his stay, Paul was only able to preach in the synagogue for about 3 weeks. After that, the message of Jesus became so offensive to the Jews in the temple that they kicked him out and refused to allow him to speak. But Paul continued to speak via word of mouth and visiting people's homes and by meeting in small groups. But even that didn't last long, because a few weeks later, the Jews stirred up trouble for them in the marketplace. He got some of the Thessalonians arrested. There was a riot, and Paul and his ministry team had to flee the city to save the Christians there from getting into further trouble. Paul's writing this letter from Corinth because he can't even visit these people anymore. We can read more about what Paul suffered in Acts chapter 17, but what he's saying here is that in this city that was so violently opposed to Paul's message of Jesus, these Thessalonian Christians are flourishing. He says in verse 6 that they became imitators of his life and doctrine. But now, after he's gone, they've done more than imitate him. They've made their faith their own. Despite severe suffering, despite pressure from the Jews in the temple, despite being ostracized by people, despite being arrested, despite attempts to silence them, despite all these things, the Spirit at work in them has given them such joy, even in the face of all this suffering. People from Macedonia and Achaia have seen this joy in suffering, and they're speaking of the way that the gospel has gone out from the Thessalonians' lives. Every time they speak, it's to speak the gospel. They can't wait to share this news that they've received. They couldn't meet in the synagogue, but nothing was going to stop them. In small groups, in their workplaces, in their homes, in their travels, they couldn't help but share the joy that they now have in Jesus. I don't know if you've ever had news like that, something that just flows from you. Every time you meet someone new, it's the first thing you can think to share with them. My son William, he's 4, and recently he got a new push bike from a friend of his. Her name is Sophie, and Sophie outgrew this bike and thought that it would be a good idea to offer it to William, who it's big enough for. Will, of course, thought this was about the best thing that could have ever happened to him, and ever since, his entire life has revolved around this new bike. He rides it every chance we get. After kinder, we go over to the park. He learned to ride it recently without training wheels. And in all this time, if you have a conversation with him, about the weather, about painting, about anything really, it always comes back to asking if you know about his Sophie bike, as it's called. Yes, the weather's great, but have you seen my Sophie bike? I did some painting at kinder today, but maybe we should go for a ride on my Sophie bike. It's terrible that you had a bad day, but have you heard about my Sophie bike? Now, obviously, these topics are made up. My son is 4. He doesn't often talk about the weather, but the result of them is not. To him, everyone needs to know about his Sophie bike. It's just that important to him. It brings him such joy. This, Paul is saying, is the news he's heard of the Thessalonians. Everywhere they go, they can't stop talking about their new Sophie bike. Paul says it's obvious that the gospel not only went into them, but now it's coming out from them. They haven't stopped sharing the message he gave to them despite their own suffering. What does that look like for us? Paul said that in much affliction, these Thessalonians were joyful. That instead of complaining about hardships or becoming weary and burnt out, they remembered God's love and they welcomed suffering that they might bear it in his name. I wonder if that's the case for us. Do we still rejoice in hardships, knowing that it's a chance to demonstrate how God can sustain us, a chance to show the labor of love in our lives? For the Thessalonians, they took any chance they got to speak about their joy and hope in Jesus. Even in suffering, they believed that God was their Father and that through the work of Jesus, he would look after them no matter what. Paul says that they received the true gospel, that the gospel's gone in and is now coming out of them. And his last point, the reason they can do all this is because their faith has changed the direction of their lives. Read from verse 9. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They being all of the people in Macedonia and Achaia who have reported this joy that they've seen in the Thessalonians. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Paul says that the faith of the Thessalonians is so memorable because they received the true gospel, because the gospel now flows from their very lives, and because the direction of their whole life has changed. The city of the Thessalonians, it was not much different to many of the other cities in Roman rule. It was full of false gods and idols, things to worship for prosperity, for good crops, for safety. Paul says here that all of these things they used to go to for comfort and hope, they're as good as dead to them now. Now they've seen the true hope they have in Jesus, the love of their Creator. Everything else is worthless. Their whole lives have changed. They have a great hope. They suffer in joy, knowing that they have everything in Jesus. They turn away from their idols because they've seen how incomparable God's love is. Paul wrote this letter to a then very new church in Thessalonica. He wrote to say that he always remembers them in his prayers for their work of faith, their labor of love, and their endurance of hope. I asked at the start if you thought your faith was memorable, that it's hard to know if we qualify to say that about ourselves. Well, Paul here would ask us 3 simple questions to find out the answer. Have you received the true gospel? Has the gospel gone into you and now comes out of you? And has the very direction of your life changed as a result? If we can answer those questions with a yes, then Paul here is amazed by our faith, our hope, and our love. The beauty of the gospel is that we don't need to do those things perfectly. The Thessalonians didn't. Further in the letter and in another letter that Paul wrote to them, he encourages them and challenges them to keep striving to live according to the example that Jesus set. But the beautiful thing is that we don't ever have to perfect our faith because Jesus has already done it for us. When we struggle to remember the joy of the gospel as we first heard it, when we feel like the gospel hasn't come out of our lives in what seems like forever, when we find ourselves slipping back into our old habits, our old idols, and feel like the direction of our life hasn't changed at all, when these things happen, Jesus is still enough. In the midst of great suffering, like the Thessalonians, we need only to remember Jesus. In Bible study groups, through meeting with friends, through reading the Word, through prayer and reflection, through being here tonight, if we can share the hope of Jesus with each other and cling to our faith in him, then it's not just Paul who sees our faith as memorable, but through Jesus, God himself longs to welcome our faithfulness home to him in heaven. Why don't I pray that we would cling to that hope? Let's pray. Loving Lord, we praise you for Jesus. Please help us to always cling to the hope we have in him. Help us to know that if our faith is in him, we are worthy and our faith is memorable. Help us to remember the joy of first understanding your gospel. Help us to tell it out with our very lives. Help us to cling only to you. In Jesus' name, amen.